Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. It is rapidly approaching the Christmas holiday and the end of the year, and I thought, what better time to check in with our good pal, Andrew McGuire. Many of you are familiar with Andy. He has been a force to be reckoned with on our side in the fight against the cartel banks and the bullion banks and the gold price manipulation ever since he came forward, six, 7 years ago now, and contacted the CFTC and tried to let them know what was going on. And of course, all they could do was look the other way and sweep things under the rug. But Andy has become a good friend of ours here at TF Metals Report, and we appreciate all that he does for us on a daily basis. And I thought, again, what better person to come in and kind of assess what has happened in 2016 and help us look forward to 2017. So, Andy, thank you so much for spending some time.
Oh, you know, it's great to be with you, Craig. And I understand you're going for a bit of a break with your family, which is the right thing to be doing at Christmas. Things are going to get pretty illiquid over the next, well, they're already illiquid. We've got most people at the Hamptons enjoying their festive drinks, and while the juniors are running the desk. So good time to be away.
No, that's right. Tell everybody, too, as we get started, they can find your website at AndrewMaguireGoldTrading.com, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Craig.
And what do you offer there, my friend?
Well, we have a couple of services, really. I mean, basically, I'm not really going to do an advertorial, but essentially, people know that we do gold and silver trading. I upload a video every morning for people. I also do some live trading posts during the day. But I think one of the things we did recently, through a lot of requests, I've now started tracking the miners. And I think you can't, you know, of course, and I'm sure people agree with this. I speak to people who've done their exhaustive due diligence, whether it be an institutional or somebody who is simply just boned down and got into the nitty gritty of how to analyze accounts, etc. And they've picked the best miners, the best producers, and they've invested them. And what happens? You see, they get taken down by a synthetic market, which really wags the tail of this whole shenanigans. So what we did was really start to track the algos, much like we track the algos in the gold and silver markets. We're now tracking the algos in the likes of GDX, GDM, etc. And that really is helpful, and really to know where is your resistance, where is the guy selling it. If you get above that, this is where to get back in. So that's what we're doing, and that's a new addition to the service.
You know, it reminds me, as you're talking, about how you and I became friends in the first place, because here I am out here in Kansas, and you're there in England, and we didn't know each other before 2011, and we come from different backgrounds and all this stuff, but I think we both center our analysis and the way we write and the way we speak and everything else around just the basic initial assumption that these markets are manipulated by the bullion banks through their traders at the behest of the central banks. And from there, I've had a guy on my site say, we don't do technical analysis, we do manipulation analysis. Would that be a fair way to put it, do you think, Andy?
Absolutely. And and I suppose, you know, that segues pretty much into what we've been talking about for, gosh, Craig, I mean, for the last 5 years or so. And do you remember the amount of trolls that used to come in and say there is no manipulation, it couldn't possibly exist, it's too big a scam to ever exist? In fact, you've got people still denying the fact that it can be orchestrated centrally. But as we know, there's been some recent revelations, and something that we were talking about a long time ago, and really only scratches the surface of the evidence I gave to regulators more than 5 years, half a decade ago. And finally, you know, it takes the civil suit and Deutsche Bank willing to throw the other guys under the bus. And this is the split in the ranks, which people don't realize. This is a big split in the ranks, and the cartel is broken. And so this is an interesting time.
Well, you know, and that's what I've tried to get the point across. You know, there, You mentioned the trolls that have all but disappeared. Isn't that interesting how all of a sudden, you know, there was even that one guy that claimed he was a Deutsche Bank trader and he knew everything and we were all wet and all that kind of stuff. Amazing how that kind of slips away as well. We look at this market, if you want to call it that, and now it's just generally understood and proven that these guys collude behind the scenes to make things happen, and the record is there. Now you can go back. I mean, we now know for sure what happened on May the 1st of 2011, right? Why gold was smashed that night, and silver, I mean, silver was smashed that night, but gold went along with it. And now we look forward and we think, okay, how can this change things, Andy? Like you said, and I've tried to make this point too, this is now just the first lawsuit that's finally slipped through the cracks and gotten into the legal discovery phase. Can we expect, do you think, more of that in 2017? Will finally not only investors and traders kind of join together? Do you think this is something that might finally get some of these mining executives out of their corner offices and actually take a stand for their shareholders?
You know, you just said it. That's the key. And I think, we've got obviously these lawsuits have brought in to the class individuals, traders, some institutionals, but none of the miners at this point, or none of the producers, have been involved. And I think that's about to change. And we've just literally, I think, 2 days ago, we saw the first suits being put together. But I think what we're talking about is not the few hundred millions. That's the fines we've seen are a few hundred million. Yes, they could expand out, but you still got to prove that was who lost money. But there's a bigger picture, and now there's trillions of dollars worth of upcoming exposure to the bullion banks, whose market rigging activities have been exposed, obviously, by these Deutsche Bank exposures, but we've barely scratched the surface of these revelations. Now, whereas, you know, as I say, only a small number of market participants have even sought damages, this is going to explode as we enter 2017, and the producers will take the courage to join the suit, and we'll talk about reason why in a second, but think about the losses that they've endured due to this rigging. I mean, producers have not just been harmed by daily discounting of the captive at market fix sales, where the bullion banks throw them in at market after discounting the price and capitalize on that, and that's something we've seen. And as you see in some of these charts, and I'm sure you've put up some of these charts where you can see annually aggregated drops at the fix, which is inconceivable that could be the case. Now, it's not just that, but it's the derivative exposure that's going to bring down these crooked insider banks, and being forced to hedge forward, being forced to not just losing money at the sale, but being forced to actually forward sell to these crooks at a discounted price in order to maintain their financing balance. So that is huge, and there's a lot to come down the pipe about that. But so. I think the key thing is here is why haven't they? Why haven't they come forward so far? And the reason they haven't come forward so far is because you're actually going, it's as if you are about to go and take a lawsuit against your banker who owns the mortgage on your house. I mean, hang on. Is that a good thing?
Call the notes.
Exactly. Call the note at the most inopportune time and likely take you over, just literally grab your assets. And so really, you know, you can understand the concern. So the good thing is that now the likes of the Allocated Bullion Exchange, which you know that I sit on the advisory board for the Allocated Bullion Exchange, that has a lot of fresh things coming forward in 2017. But one of the things I think that is key, I'd like to talk about the institutional aspect of that, but one of the key aspects here is the ability for a producer not just to sell directly to an end user and to miss the whole LBMA high friction conduit and insider gaming, to be able to actually capitalize on the fact that they can be financed alternatively from the normal system. So, so in other words, if one can provide external independent financing to the producers and unshackle them from the control of that these bullion banks have over them. And let's face it, in a regulatory environment like this, what plain vanilla bullion banking is totally unprofitable. I mean, to lend in a plain vanilla fashion at say US LIBOR plus a basis point, where's the money in that?
Right.
There is no such thing, no such money in that. So yet there are plenty of alternate financiers who look at this, being able to buy gold at a price, at a forward price, which is current, and to be able to have that gold, know that gold is coming, and to be able to finance that independently and gladly take possession of gold that's coming down the road, or accept financing with using that gold bullion as security that's already been mined, and if that producer doesn't necessarily want to sell all that bullion but needs to develop a part of a mine, well, all of these things can be put in place at a LIBOR plus rate. And so it negates this whole process. So I think until that's in place, and that's coming in 2017, and when that comes into place, I think you're going to see a mass of lawsuits coming out. These producers must hate their finances,
yeah,
knowing what's happened, seeing the revelations recently, and having their eyes open to the fact that they've been robbed blind, and their shareholders have been robbed blind for decades. And these lawsuits go back decades. There's no reason why they shouldn't. Once you've proved it,
Right. And then all the other lawsuits to come, and all the more extra discovery that comes from that, the extra depositions, the extra affidavit. I mean, it could really snowball. But I, you know, so many of us have been, you know, following along and stacking our metal and getting angrier by the day against these banks now for, you know, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 12 years. And we all just want to expedite the process. You know, we want to get the banks out of this business and begin some new mechanism for actually pricing true physical gold and silver. Now, you know, it's one way the lawsuits are going to help. And if we can get these banks convinced that, you know, especially the marginal players, that there's no money to be made in this anymore, that'll help. But, you know, Andy, you're there in London, and in your work as a wholesaler, you continue to be right at the ground level, get to see physical demand around the world. You know, everybody knows about how many times gold is pledged over and over, and all the rehypothecation and the unallocated accounts, and the, you know, there's kind of the confidence game that exists. You know, as long as you think you can get gold for your paper, then, you know, you'll continue to hold it as paper. But at some point, we got to get, reach that critical mass there as well in physical demand. You know, negative interest rates are a big fundamental part of that. But what are you seeing, and does as we enter 2017, does the physical demand picture look any different than it did, let's just say, as we entered 2016?
Well, indeed, and in fact, more so. We've got an opportunity to give you something which I think nobody has at this point. I've seen nothing about it, and I've had some very, very recent information. I'm talking about the last 24 hours, where we could probably estimate, and I'm getting some solid estimates out of China, where we, because of a change in regulation, let me just start from the beginning here. You know, so, you know, Chinese have been seeking so many ways of getting their cash offshore, and we know that. And just to illustrate how this is going to play out and why I see potential $4 billion of fresh money pouring into gold during 2017. Now, there are a lot of other positive drivers, but this is as yet unreported, I believe. Now, during the third quarter, we've got evidence that Hong Kong sales of insurance and related investment policies to Chinese residents, that came in at $2.4 billion. Now, That includes the purchase of life insurance policies, which have investment elements and can be cashed in. And of course, they've got a big investment portion, and Chinese citizens have been able to then buy these things and multiple times over. And they're actually restricted to a maximum of $50,000 worth of yuan per year to invest in other currencies and other products regulated under the country's capital account policies. But what they're doing is multiple times creating these 50,000 on their credit cards, etc., and multiple times buying these policies and suddenly cashing in the investment portion of them in Hong Kong and other places, and then it's a way of getting the money out. Now, under new common reporting standards, they call them CPS, they take effect on the 1st of January. Now, Chinese citizens will find they're clamped down on this very, I don't think this loophole has been reported anywhere else, and I'm not sure it has, but however, shutting this loophole down draws the excess money directly into physical gold and silver. Now, these fungible physical holdings will expand accordingly. Now, reliable sources estimate this additional demand, and I get this absolute, I'm so convinced that this is reliable, to exceed probably $1 billion per quarter, so $4 billion dollars per annum. And this is in addition to the expanding large premium flows into gold to hedge yuan devaluations. And we know that China's devaluating the yuan. We know that.
Right.
And another thing today, I don't know if you saw this, but today China confirmed they were also tactically reducing their U.S. Treasury holdings.
Right.
And that's a shot across the bow, and this is to openly admit this. This is a shot across the bow, and it will influence U.S. policy and possibly set off a trade war. Now, gold can only be in the beneficiary of all of these things, and we haven't seen in 2016 none of these things were in place.
Yeah.
So really, I think we've got a different paradigm here. You've got Sharia gold, you've got the financial services being able to invest in Sharia gold. We've yet to see that play out. And we've got the likes of, and I think this is, to me, the most important thing, is that, you know, these paper games, people say, yeah, but physical, you know, yeah, but the paper market's going to rule it anyway. Wrong, because we've got some big changes coming. And I mean, we've seen a lot of excellent retail gold alternatives, you know, that are making physical gold easily accessible to the general public, and it makes it easy for individuals to buy and save gold, and of course it drives, you know, at the margin physical demand, and it in turn forces the fractional reserve gold out of the hand of, you know, the hands of these controlling banks, LBMA banks, you know, because they're forced to buy physical to deliver it against these unallocated positions. But it's the international facing institutional physical exchanges that will disrupt this legacy LBMA insider run gold and silver market in 2017. And aside from the fact that regulations are making it very, very, very unpalatable to just be in plain vanilla bullion banking. Now, so obviously, sitting on the board of the ABX, I know that, in fact, you had Tom Coughlin on, about a year ago,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
Craig?
Yeah, when we were just getting going.
Yeah, and that was the soft launch. And we if you remember, we launched early this year. But since then, we've been strategically setting ABX up for the upcoming 2017 hard launch. Now, the upcoming hard launch is big news for the gold industry. This is the first institutional electronic physical exchange, and it truly is a game changer, and it is going to break up the monopoly these current actors have in the producer in the precious metals markets. Now, this is the first institutional physical electronic exchange big enough to completely bypass the unallocated gold market. And I cannot emphasize just how important that this institutional aspect is. And it's never been possible for a producer to have this direct frictionless conduit to an end user through a centrally cleared allocated physical exchange that is so diverse that it's accessible to the Bank of China down to an individual. And, you know, this is available. It's not just at the fixes. This is open and trading fluidly 23 hours a day. And the legacy fractional reserve gold market is breaking away from the control of these few insiders. Now, so just to understand just how important this is, to have a true institutional electronic physical solution that will break the paper market, it's unprecedented. And now, if you remember, in the 1980s, the FX market moved from a phone your broker, high friction, want to buy US dollar, sell euro, etc., etc., that kind of a transaction. And it moved electronically into the $5 trillion a day electronic FX market we have today, changing the entire face of the FX market. The gold market's still 100 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
It's so really, there is no other solution. Yeah, sure, we see the SGE coming in, but it's all inside. It's trading inside China, you know, where you have to have physical to deposit before you can sell it. What a novel idea, you know. And again, so the same with the ABX. If you're a producer and you want to sell your gold, or you're a trading bank and you want to sell gold, you have to deposit it first. You really have to deposit it. Then it's sold, and it's sold and immediately taken delivery of. So you can't just add synthetic supply anymore. So I think we're going to find out in 2017 what the real price of physical gold is, based upon the fact that this is going to sidestep this entire rigged market process.
Well, I hope so, and that's what everybody's waiting for. You know, but standing in our way still, Andy, is this, I guess, rash of government regulators, even really around the globe. It seems, though, maybe the main roadblocks are here in the U.S. It looks as though BaFin, the German regulator, helped to pressure Deutsche Bank into settling that lawsuit and turning states' evidence against their fellow banks. But, you know, here in the U.S., we've never gotten any help at all, as you intimately know, from the CFTC or the Department of Justice or anybody like that. Is there any, do you hold out any hope, Andy, in that regard, that, you know, all these politicians talk about draining the swamp and in a new and fighting the establishment and that kind of thing. Do we hold out any hope in that regard, or is that? I mean, do we just have to kind of continue to work within the system to change the system?
Well, I think look at what happens this year. I think that throw the old paradigm out of kilter, Brexit. Trump, yeah. I mean, unimaginable. Yes, we've subsequently seen a war on gold, and I think it's a reaction. It's a reaction to that too. But Trump is supposed to, one of his, I don't know if this is ever going to back off of this, in his first 100 days, he's supposed to audit the Fed.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that going to happen? That would certainly be very helpful. But we don't know. We have to wait and see. I mean, it's so hard. Who knows whether he's going to renege on that promise or not? But by all accounts, he's showing some what I don't want to use the word gold balls. Let me just say he's showing some gold balls right now, and I don't know. We'll just have to see.
Yeah.
But yes, we've got some big changes, and we've got an orchestrated war on cash and war on gold time. Yeah. You know, which is trial ballooned in India. And that clearly is telegraphing what the Clinton administration had planned for the West. And all that you can see, all the footprints, you know, European regulations, Australian regulations, US regulations, all foreshadowing the pulling of large denominated bills, right, as you call them, or notes. And I think what's happened is that people are looking and saying, this is coming down the pipe. What is your only alternative? Your only alternative to the real cash is 5,000-year-old cash.
Yeah.
Gold, silver. And you know, it doesn't matter if it goes up or down by $100 or two. What does it matter? If you're an Indian, for example, you just want to stay under the radar. You're paying, I mean, I've heard reports of double the price, but no, realistically, $300 premiums is what we're really hearing of. I mean, $300 an ounce premiums in size, and we're seeing tonnage. We are seeing tonnage go into the SGE. And people are saying, I see people coming out and making statements. Yeah, well, it's only they're only seeing $40 premiums because supply is tight there. Yeah, supply is tight, but volume, but supply is coming in. And so, and I think, you know, we're definitely in the wholesale market, and we see large tonnage deliveries going into the SGE all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not just that, and more supply required. And when we see GLD raided on a daily basis, an almost daily basis, what's happening to that? That's a flywheel. That's a flywheel of physical. It's the only, there's no one wanting to sell physical at this price in size. So if you can tap into GLD and you've immediately got it pre-sold, you've got it sold to the you've got it sold through a refiner and pre-sold to your end destination, and you're making 30 $35, even after the difference between 995 to 49 refining costs, you're still making 30, $35 an ounce. So, and you've got unlimited supply. You've got unlimited demand. So it's a question is, where can you get the physical? The only physical flywheel I see is GLD. Where else are you going to get it? The 5 to 7 tons that the producers are forced to dump in at market on the fixes. Yeah, but that's, you know, where supply is tight. So that's what we're seeing. So I really think 2017 is going to be a completely different year.
Yeah. And you touched on that, Andy. That's one of the things that I don't know if we're connecting the dots, and you know, if either we're seeing this correctly or if we're seeing it like Russell Crowe in that movie where you're just imagining that all these things are connected, you know. But as you were talking, I'm sitting there thinking about that. You know, the price peaked and was smashed immediately following the election, and it's been down 15-17% since in the last 6 weeks. At the same time, it was almost at that exact same time that premium in the SGE versus the LBMA, which had been ever since those fixes started back in April, about 0.5%, exploded at the exact same time. And then also at the exact same time, we've had nothing but withdrawals from the GLD ever since. And I'm just going to reach behind me and grab my list. The GLD on November the 9th was 955 metric tons. As of last night, it's 824 metric tons. So
yeah.
Are those three things connected? I mean, can you clearly connect those three dots?
Well, I certainly know that other than forced producer sales, no one is selling any physical at these prices. Who on earth who owns physical that doesn't have to sell it for? And I'm not talking about your margin synthetic players here.
Right.
I'm talking about if you're physically holding your physical, you really going to sell it at this price? If you're not being forced to because of a margin situation, which you shouldn't be if you own physical, because it should be unmargined. So, of course not. And so really, it's supply is tight. So because supply is tight, the premiums are soaring. You've got all the stories about India. Well, the gold market's dead in India. Yeah, the official gold market is dead in India. But the smuggling market, it's just exploded, and you know, it's drawing in money that was never ever gonna buy gold in that marketplace. There was people who always bought officially through the jewelers, etc., are buying, literally trying to put their cash into gold, but they don't want to be overseen by the regulators,
right.
By the tax authorities. The tax authorities are kicking doors down and walking in. If you've got own more than X amount of jewelry and you can't justify, good God! I mean, these people have been Indians have been dowries have been going on for thousands of years, and each year those dowries have expand. And when a woman gets married, the dowry goes with her, and that stays in the family, and the families build kilos and kilos of gold. How, of course, you can't justify, you know, where you bought it. You can't. It's part of an inheritance. So suddenly they're going to say, "Well, hang on. Well, let's value that today oh, that's going to mean we better confiscate it, or most of it, because you can't prove that you where you bought it or pay tax on it. I mean, it's a ludicrous situation.
Andy, you've been very generous with your time, and I think we've all appreciate it because it's great to get your point of view. Before we wrap up, though, I do have one last question I want to ask you because, this is just to just get your own point of view, just your own speculation. The day after the U.S. election was the biggest one-day move in the U.S. Treasury market in history, the biggest one-day percentage move ever, and at the time, everybody just thought, it's just a bunch of money managers, getting aggressive and changing their allocation around. And I said, man, there's no way you could move a market that size that much without sovereign actors involved. We've since found out, as you said earlier, the Chinese are liquidating treasuries for obviously a number of reasons. And that obviously is a big part of why interest rates, especially in the long end, have moved the way they have. So now Trump is going about setting up his administration. We had news yesterday. He's going to make the head of the Foreign Trade Department or whatever the heck the thing he's calling it, a guy who has written books about how evil China is and their trade policies and everything else, a guy by the name of Navarro. Now, there's this generally accepted narrative now that, everything's going to be great, that the dollar is going to get stronger and inflation is going to come and interest rates are going to go up and all this kind of stuff and everything's bliss. My question, now that I'm finally getting to it, is, you've traveled extensively in China. You've worked a lot in China, in the gold market, in the Far East. What, Andy, do you think could upset the apple cart in 2017? If the Trump is almost insistent upon, he's talking about trade wars and tariffs and all that kind of stuff. Do the Chinese have to play ball in this system? Or do you think 2017 could hold some surprises where they just say, here's how much gold we actually own. And we're going to go off in a different direction.
Well, the way I've always viewed it is that as much as all the niceties, Let's face it, China is an enemy of the U.S. state. When you think militarily, they're enemies of the U.S. And I think everything really stems from military thinking anyway. So everything else is just all niceties. I think clearly, aside from all this diplomatic posturing, China is not going to stand by. They've built up a navy that exceeds anything we have in the U.K., they've built up a navy that's all brand new, that probably exceeds any other navy that's out there. They've built up a military force, technology, space technology. Why would they kowtow to the U.S.? They own U.S. debt. They have the power to destroy the U.S. in one fell swoop, even if it shot them in the foot. By dumping treasuries in big size.
Yeah.
So I think, as I say, I think this is a shot across the bow. I've never seen that blatantly, the blatant wording that was used today, where we're selling U.S. treasuries as a tactical move.
Right.
Well, that's an act of war. Because it attacks U.S. hegemony.
Yeah.
And anything that attacks U.S. hegemony is an act of war. So I think, I honestly think that this is not going to be the U.S. is not going to have the power that it had. And when you've got the Russia and China working together, they're exchanging gold together. I honestly think we're seeing a change here that far supersedes anything else. But as you say, we've seen some big moves. And I think, yes, sovereigns, other central banks are at work here. And I think the big picture is that China is going to play a bigger role this year.
Yeah. Hey, Andy, one last question. You mentioned earlier that in your services that you offer now at AndrewMaguireGoldTrading.com, is now you're tracking some of the shares as well. Because a lot of folks, we stack physical metal. But if they want to trade and swap fiat around, a lot of folks trade the miners. And the miners had this great year for about half a year. And then it all kind of turned around here in the back half of the year. Yeah, we're still up 50, 60% on the year, which is nothing to be sneezed at or written off. in general, where do you see or how do you feel about the minors as we turn the corner into 17?
Well, again, to me, it is all about it's the tail wagging the dog. It's the literally. I mean, as I say, you can have done all the best research in the world, and then obviously the underlying is being attacked by in the synthetic markets. Resolving the synthetic market, letting the synthetic market liquidity flow into the physical market exchanges, and that is going to bleed out the power that synthetic market has. And I think at that point there, all the good, and I don't track individual miners, I track the indexes, the primary indexes, and because obviously there's a lot of work in looking at individual miners and producers, etc. But what I'm saying is people have done their incredibly good work, and they're getting hit between the eyes for something that shouldn't be happening. And I think so this as liquidity flows into the physical markets, I think we'll see the miners all turn around. In fact, we're looking at those indexes right now and looking for the first clues here, because those same insiders are all over these same shares. I think you're going to see a big move, and people trade the producers and the miners because you get a huge amount of leverage on them, and obviously they're really they've been really toasted, haven't they? I think it's all to do with the physical market. So you have to look at the holistic view, and I honestly think that as that physical market migrates outside of the control, and will exponentially do more so in 2017, we're going to see all of these well thought through indexes start to rise.
Yeah, and that's mainly what you'll do is track the indices, and people can extrapolate that from there.
We're looking at the algos. I mean, I see 21.27 in GDX as the line in the sand. Get through that, I see a large move higher, a gap close. I see 1663 as what they're trying to target here. I mean, this is an algo that is clearly in play. It's quite transparent. And obviously, you know, HUI, we're looking at 180.97 as a breach of that, and then a significant move higher, but a breach and hold of that. And of course, you know, there's so many, this is the kind of things we're doing. It's really just trying to track those algos, and which are really being dictated by the physical market, by the synthetic market.
Well, I tell you what, my friend, it's going to be an interesting year. You know, last year at this time, everybody thought gold was going into the triple digits and that the Fed was going to hike rates four times in 2016 and everything. I mean, it's a repeat of where we were last year, isn't it?
Exactly. Oh, dear. How can they have any credibility left? I'm not sure. But it's the knee-jerk response to these algorithmic knee-jerk responses that causes the volatility. And of course, it's volatility that scares people away from the gold market. And you ask the average person, I'm worried about investing in gold because it's so volatile. No, it's not. Physical market is not volatile. It is the synthetic market that's volatile.
Right.
So we need to get that liquidity needs to flow out, and it will do. And I think the likes of the ABX is going to break the back of these COMEX guys. Why would you? Just I ask you one question. Why would you, as a trading bank, why would you bother to trade an unallocated product that has huge counterparty risk for no extra cost? You can trade a physical product electronically at the same speed and the same size for your clients and have no counterparty risk. Why would you do it, especially in a regulatory environment like this? Of course you would. You would choose the latter. And that's exactly what we're going to see, the migration out of the over-the-counter, especially the over-the-counter markets, unallocated markets with huge counterparty risk. Why would you, as a bank, as a non-market-making LBMA bank, why would you even choose that option when you've got no counterparty risk to trade physical electronically elsewhere that is physically in a vault?
You're right, my friend. And, I hate to have to keep preaching patience to everybody, but we're talking about Titanic level shift here, to go from one system to another. It's not something that's really going to happen overnight. But I'm convinced that this is the direction the world is heading, and your leadership and your work is just invaluable, my friend. And so just from all of us here at TFMR, thank you for all that you continue to do on our behalf. And I wish you a great Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and great holiday season. And let's go get them in 17.
Oh, you know what? And I do wish everybody a really happy Christmas and a golden new year to come.
Yes, a golden new year to come. I like that idea. Andy, all the best. Let's see if we can't get caught up again after the first year sometime.
Okay, we'll be back with you in the new year for sure. Craig, have a great holiday.
Hey, thanks everybody for listening, and Merry Christmas.